Truly, truly, I say, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give you. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. Just hours before our Lord and Savior goes to the cross to suffer and win salvation for us, he is still teaching his disciples, and us too, along with them. He knows that he will soon suffer agonies that are unimaginable to us sitting here today. He is giving his disciples their final instructions. He has told them that he will be departing this world. He has warned them what will happen after he departs, how they will be scattered and persecuted, and he has promised to send a helper. Now, he is now telling them how to pray in order that the Father would hear and the helper would come. Prayer is a large part of Jesus' life. While he was here with us on earth, he prayed a lot. The prayers that Jesus prayed give us a lot of insight into his nature, his heart, his mission, and his mission on earth. The prayers of Jesus also inform and encourage us in our own prayer lives. Far more important than where he prayed, when he prayed, or in what position he prayed, is the fact that he prayed. The theme of his prayers is instructive to us all. Can we now look at some of Jesus' prayers? Let's start with the prayer I had with the kids, the Lord's Prayer, which is actually a teaching tool of Christ as part of his Sermon on the Mount, which you can read in Matthew. In this model prayer, Jesus teaches us to approach God as our Father, to hallow God's name, to pray for God's will, and to ask for daily provision, forgiveness, and spiritual protection. Jesus prayed at the return of the 72 disciples. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do." You can find that passage in Luke. Jesus also praised at Lazarus' tomb. They rolled away the stone from his friend's tomb. Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." You can find this in John. Now, this prayer is a good example of a prayer that is prayed in the hearing of others, for their sake, that they may see faith. Perhaps join us even in knowing his care for us all. So to pray in public is not a bad thing. On the night of his arrest, Jesus prayed an extended prayer, known today, as we call it, his high priestly prayer, and John 17 records that next week. On behalf of his own, those given to him by the Father, he has prayed that prayer. In this prayer, Jesus is the intercessor for his children. He prays not for the world, but for those that you have given me, for they are yours. He prays that they would have his joy, that God would keep them from the evil one. He prays for his own to be sanctified by the truth, which is the word of God, and to be unified in that truth. In this prayer, Jesus looks to the future and includes us and all of those who would ever believe in him. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane just before his arrest. Jesus' agonizing prayer in the garden is a model of submission and sacrifice. "My Father, if it is not possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will." Three times Jesus prayed this prayer. Jesus also prayed three times from the cross. In the midst of his agony, his first prayer echoes Psalm 22 and expresses his deep distress. Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus prayed also for the forgiveness of those who were torturing him to death. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." With his final breath, Jesus continued to express his faith in God. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Jesus prayed at many other events in his life. He prayed at his baptism. He prayed before feeding the 5,000 and the 4,000. He prayed at the moment of his transfiguration. He spent the night praying to God on the mountainside just before he chose his 12 disciples. If our Savior found it necessary to commune with the Father in prayer frequently, how much more do we need to do so? Jesus faced persecution, trials, heartache, and physical suffering, as we also do. Without regular and continual access to the throne of God, he and we would surely find these events unbearable. In the same way, we must never fail to approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of needs, as recorded in Hebrews. And that is the gift that he gives us in his Holy Spirit. Now, three main themes are apparent in Jesus' prayers. One is a giving of thanks to the Father. Praise is also a regular part of Jesus' prayers. And there's another theme. Another theme is his communion with the Father. This relationship with his Heavenly Father naturally resulted in his desire to spend time communicating with him. The third theme in Jesus' prayers is his submission to the Father. Our Lord's prayer were always in accordance with God's will. Aside from the good news of forgiveness and eternal life, is there any better news than this? The Son of God says to his disciples, and to you and to me, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give you." Jesus tells you to pray. He doesn't phrase it as an accusing command. He doesn't say, "Thou shalt pray," threatening like, "Thou shalt not kill," or does he? Or, "Thou shalt not steal." But it's still law, and still something that we ought to do as Christians. But look how inviting Jesus puts it. "Whatever you ask in my name, he will give to you." Instead of, "Do this or there will be consequences," he says, "Do this because my Father wants to give you whatever you ask in my name." Jesus tells you how to pray. He says, "Ask of the Father in my name." To ask in Jesus' name has a couple significant aspects. One is that Jesus' name and word can't be separated. John 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." So we pray in Jesus' name. So to pray in Jesus' name is to pray according to his word. Therefore, you're on solid ground when you pray for whatever God promises to do for you in his word. Does he promise daily bread? Yes. Does he promise? Yes. And so you can be confident that he will give you what you need for this body and life. Does he promise healing? Yes, he does, according to his will, in the way that it will be best for you. Does he promise forgiveness of sins? Absolutely. And he points you to his means of grace: baptism, confession, and absolution, his Holy Supper, his word, so that you know exactly where forgiveness can be found. Does he promise deliverance from temptation and all evil? Yes, according to his will. Ask in Jesus' name according to his word, and God will hear and give it to you. That's one aspect to pray. That's one aspect to pray in Jesus' name. Here's another. To pray in Jesus' name is to pray for Jesus' sake. That is what makes prayer so certain. When we pray in his name, that makes prayer so certain. To pray in Jesus' name is to say, "Father, you've got to help me for Jesus' sake, because he died to redeem me from sin. I know I don't deserve your help. I am way too sinful to warrant any kindness or mercy from you. I am not asking you to help me because I am a good, righteous, or cute and adorable. I am asking you to hear and answer my prayers for Jesus' sake." He is righteous, and he has given me his righteousness. Help me for his sake, because you promised to help me for Jesus' sake. Now, I know that there is never a time where a crucified and risen Savior is anything less than holy and righteous and interceding for us before the Father. And there never will be a time where the Father won't help us for Jesus' sake. If our Savior found it necessary to commune with the Father frequently in prayer, how much more so do we need to do? Jesus faced persecution, trials, heartaches, and physical suffering, as we also do. Without regular and continual access to the throne of God, he would have surely found these events unbearable, and so do we. In the same way, we must never fail to approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Again, Hebrews. That is the gift that God gives us in his Spirit. Just as Jesus gave thanks, we should all pray. we should in all things pray with thanksgiving. As God has adopted children, we should naturally desire to talk to God. And in everything, we should seek the Lord's will above our own. Now, Jesus prayed in a variety of settings, public and private. He prayed in times of joy, and he prayed in times of sorrow. He prayed for himself. He prayed for others. He prayed to express thanks, to petition for the needs, and to commune with his Father. Jesus shows us how we should trust God, submit to God, and seek fellowship with God, not only in prayer, but in all things in our lives. To this day, Jesus continues to pray for us and his church, this church, all churches that honor his name, from his exalted position in heaven at the right hand of God. Scripture says he makes intercessions for us, for those who belong to him. It is significant that at Jesus' ascension, which we're going to observe this Thursday, he was taken away from his disciples into heaven while he was still blessing them. That blessing has never stopped. Jesus will continue to bless those who come to God through faith in Christ until he comes again. Now, our Father in heaven wants you to pray to him. He wants to answer your prayers, and no one is going to stop the Almighty from answering. Furthermore, you know exactly what to pray. You pray what God says in his word. And you know that the basis for prayer, You stay focused on the cross, on Jesus' death for you. And you keep confessing to be the reason why the Father answers your prayer. Jesus bids us to pray. He tells us that the Almighty, everlasting God is waiting for you. To pray to him anytime, anywhere, so that he can hear and answer your prayers. And now, may our sending Lord keep our hearts and minds until his return. Amen.